Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is the Coast to Coast Radio Show. I'm your host, Ron Fitch. And today we're going to exclusively talk about the NFL and NCAA football. Tomorrow I'm going to do a baseball show where I break down the Mets and Royals. I wanted to give the World Series its due and take my time and try to break it down instead of squeezing it into this show. And I want to talk about all the big football games that took place yesterday and then a little bit of college football and my opinion of what's going on right now and how it's shaping out. The big game yesterday was, there was a couple of big games, but I'm going to talk about Dallas and the Giants. That's usually the biggest game because those are the biggest names. It was a really good game. Dallas didn't have Tony Romo and Dez Bryant, but they had their defense intact. And it was a very interesting, very, very interesting game. And I thought that Castle did okay. You know, I know he had some interceptions. He had 227 yards. And, you know, Eli Manning was solid. He wasn't spectacular, 13-24, 170. But, you know, what I was impressed with was they take a 7-3 lead. The Giants take a 7-3 lead. And then Castle comes back. And he was sharp on his next drive. And they ran, and they mixed it up. They did a screen pass to McFadden that was a touchdown, but it was called back on a pass interference play. And that hurt Dallas. It took a drive away, and it was Street who had the penalty. But the Dallas comes back. And that's what the one thing about them, they came right back. And Jason Witten caught a big pass down the field to the goal line. And then they ran McFadden in the end zone. And Dallas is winning the game 13-7. And they headed toward halftime. I thought the drive that the Giants had to make it 13-10 was big because they took some positive out of the drive. But there was a pass interference call that didn't get called on Beckham Jr., Odell Beckham Jr. He was held. It was blatant, too. And the officials missed it. They flag everything. There's too many flags in the NFL. And that's the one they really missed. But the Giants still have 4 field goal. Dallas is driving. And then all of a sudden, intercepted by Rogers Cromartie on the Giants. He's celebrating too soon at the 40, but he was able to take it back, make it a pick six. And now the Giants are, it's a whole momentum change because the Cowboys were moving. McFadden was running all over the Giants. And the Giants took the lead. It settled them down. And the Cowboys are going to, instead of running McFadden, they go deep with Castle trying to get Terrence Williams, who was open temporarily, but the ball was just lofted high. And then Merriweather was able to pick it off. And the Giants are way in their territory, the 3-yard line. They got to get out of their own territory. And lo and behold, Odell Beckham catches a one-handed pass on a bomb. They're out of their own end zone. Now they're in business. And the Giants are driving, and Reuben Randall dropped the pass, so they had to sell for a field goal. 20-13 Giants. Here come the Cowboys. But then, Rogers Cromartie gets another pick. But it wasn't a pick six, so he intercepts the ball, but Dallas gets the ball back. And Castle showed poise. I mean, they didn't rattle him with the 3 interceptions. He makes a nice throw to Terrence Williams. And he at the 27-yard line of the Giants is when Castle rolls out and throws a pretty pass to Street. And Street makes the catch. And the end zone keeps his toes in. It was gorgeous. And the Cowboys are fired up. The bench is fired up. I mean, it's a great pass, toe tap, with 2 feet inbound. Street makes a great catch. It was just a great play overall. The Cowboy bench is fired up. They believe. You can tell, the way their bench was celebrating, we get this game, we're rolling now, because Romo and Brian will be back. And we're feeling really good about ourselves. We got one game without Romo. What happened is that a former Cowboy, Dwayne Harris, comes back. and it's a 102-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. And that had to be sweet for him. And he really – and that was it for the Giants. They're up 27-20. And you think it's over. Cowboys are back sad again. Then Hardy and Dez Bryant get into an argument. And I'm going to get into that after I talk about the outcome of the game. I'm going to get into those knuckleheads in a minute. And the Cowboys get the ball back and they're driving again. McFadden has run the ball well. He had 159 yards rushing on 29 carries. And he was the bell cow in this game. And for whatever reason, they weren't able to run him because I was thinking Dallas was going to run the ball all the way into the end zone. The Giants helped on third and fourth down. They did their job, and Spagnuolo did a good job of dialing up the correct blitzes. And the Giants got the ball back, but they did nothing with it, and the Cowboys used the timeouts well. So the Cowboys are getting the ball back. Oh, no. I'm thinking, oh, man. With a minute 31 left, Cole Beasley fumbles the ball, fumbles the punt, Giants recover at the Dallas 12-yard line. That's game. And the Cowboys lose 27-20 in a heartbreaking loss. You know, Cowboys fans and Cowboy players will probably say, you know, we didn't have our guy. We did not have Romo. We didn't have Brez Bryant. And we still gave the Giants trouble. I get that. But it had to be tough to be that close to winning and losing. And I want to address the Dez Bryant situation. Greg Hardy is a moron. He's a great pass rusher. I understand that Cowboys need a pass rusher and they roll the dice. But when you make a deal with I don't want to call him, I mean, he's not literally a devil, but when you make a deal with the devil literally in a literal sense, this will come back to bite you. The comments he made about women, the comments he made about Tom Brady's wife, and then yesterday, no comment. Just trying to bully the media. He's just a bad guy. I agree with Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant gets emotional, but most of the time it's in a good way to try to fire the Cowboys up. He didn't take it that way. So Dez Bryant's kind of a hothead. So he's coming after Hardy. Hardy's coming after him. I'm pretty sure they'll work it out in practice today, but it looked bad. Hardy's a bad apple. I'm looking at his body language. I listen to him talk. There's nothing really good about this guy. And he looks like he has a really, really bad temper. He's had domestic violence issues. Listen, if you're his girlfriend or you're somebody that want to date him, enter at your own risk. I think he is not done. Until he comes to grip with himself, he's not done with this circle of violence. You know, you just don't get rid of that. You got to get help. And he is going to be a problem for the Cowboys. I get it. You can't block this guy. He's a pass-rushing guy. But the Cowboys got problems with Greg Hardy. I wouldn't have touched him. He is nuclear. And and he's the type of guy, when the bad times are rolling, he makes things worse. When the good times are rolling, you know, he'll get sacks, and you're not thinking about him as being the domestic abuser author. But when the bad times are rolling, you see him with the arguments, acting up on the sideline. That is the worst guy you want to have. When things are going bad, you want somebody that has poise, that could take you to the promised land. He's not that guy. Romo is. Romo's developed into, ever since last year, he's developed into a good clutch quarterback, and they really miss him. 0-4, they're not out of it by any stretch of the imagination. The Dallas Cowboys are not out of it, even though they're 2-4, just because of the fact that the Giants are 4-3, and they're leading the division. But the problem is the Giants have New Orleans at New Orleans, and New Orleans is starting to play better. And the Giants never, ever, ever play, especially Eli, ever play good in New Orleans. They don't even show up in New Orleans. If they get to the New Orleans game, they're on their way, but I'm worried about that game. If they lose, they're 4-4, and even if Dallas loses to the Seahawks, they're still not happy. There'll be a game out. And they split with the Giants. So it's not really the proverbial end of the world for the Cowboys, but they do have to get it going, and they're going to have to get guys healthy. Now, as far as the Giants, they're head of the division because the Eagles lost to Carolina yesterday, and Carolina was physical. And Eagles ran the ball well. Murray had a good game, and Ryan Matthews had over 100 yards. But, man, Cam Newton, he gets a two-yard run. Tolbert has a two-yard run. It's 14-3. The Eagles have a chance. After Tolbert scores again, the Eagles had a chance to really come back. Because they come right back, Ryan Matthews, 63-yard run, touchdown run. They're in business. Caleb Sturgis makes a field goal, but then he misses the one that could have got it to two. And Carolina takes up just about the entire fourth quarter on a couple of drives. And they make it 24-16 with a field goal. And then the Eagles tried to get the ball back, and they really couldn't do nothing. Sam Bradford's okay. I said he stunk. He's been upgraded to okay. He is not the answer for the Eagles because he's not strong enough. He got sacked by a lineman. The lineman sacked him with three fingers and threw him to the ground. He's not strong enough. I don't like his arm. He makes some plays. He was 26 of 46 for 205 yards and an interception. I like Carolina right now. I like how Cam Newton's playing. Now, it says he has a touchdown, three interceptions. Some of those interceptions were quirky. But nevertheless, they were. He didn't have the greatest game. But this year, he's been playing really smart football. So I respect that. Now, the next game is the Jets and the New England Patriots. And the Patriots won 30-23. The Jets really controlled this game. Really, really, really controlled this game. But the problem was you got to make touchdowns when you're playing New England. Field goals will get you beat. Field goals will make it close enough for Brady to come down. Ding, ding, ding. Amendola, Gronkowski touchdown. That's everybody go home. And that's what you're up against when you're playing the New England Patriots. And the Jets were leading the Patriots in a game. And they were up 10-3. And it could have been more, but the Jets kept driving and stalling. And you had to put up more points. And then finally, after New England had been completely shut down in the second half, Brady does come with a nice 11-play, 47-yard drive. And then Gustavsky gives them the lead. And then Gustavsky kicks another field goal. But then the Jets take the lead on Chris Ivory run. Fourth quarter, the Jets are driving with a chance to go up eight. And worst case scenario, if you go up eight, all New England can do is score and get a two-point conversion and you're tied. You're still in the game. But no. Brandon Marshall drops a touchdown pass, and he was very upset after the game because he's a gamer. He says, I should walk home the way I played. Well, no, he played good. He just had a killer drop, and you can't make those. Then Amendola had an 8-yard pass from Brady, and then Gronk had a 15-yard pass to make it 30-20, up 10. And then the Jets scored late, but it was too late. But the bottom line is you have to keep New England's offense off the field. They average 50 to 60 snaps a game because what they do, they don't run, but they run so many plays that you're going to have to keep pass rushing. After a while, you get tired. And they keep coming and coming and coming with short yard passes. And then you move up your safeties and they go down the seam. They throw that seam route to Gronk for 30 yards, and he'll drag you about 10 or 11 yards. And that's what hurt him. I mean, Fitzpatrick was okay, 22 of 33, 295, but there were plays that he left on the table on third down that could have kept drives going. Then you end up punting the ball back to Brady. If you keep punting the ball back to Brady and you keep playing, keep kicking field goals, you're going to get beat. If you play soccer against the New England Patriots, you're going to get beat. If you play a good game, if you're kicking field goals, they're going to be putting up touchdowns. You got to put up touchdowns. If you put up touchdowns and you stay ahead in the lead with the defense the Jets have, the Jets could beat the New England. And I believe they're going to beat them when the New England comes back to the Meadowlands. New England has a very interesting game against a red-hot Miami Dolphin team who's rolling right now, winning 44-26 to Houston. They haven't beaten the best teams, but Dan Campbell has them believing. And if they ever went to Foxborough and won in New England, woo, have mercy. You never know how that's going to shake down. But, man, if the Dolphins ever won in Foxborough, I'm doubting that could happen, but you never know. And the team starts believing in the NFL. Then I want to talk about the Saints and the Colts. You had Drew Brees versus Andrew Luck, and Andrew Luck struggling. Two interceptions. He went 0-for-5 to start the game. They're down 21-0. And then they make the comeback. It's 27-21, and then they don't get the onside kick. But the bigger problem is Luck is struggling. 23-44. Those are not Luck's numbers. And 3 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. And the Saints are playing better. They're coming on. They're 3-4. They're making their move. Rob Ryan, who I've been a big critic of, his defense is playing better. I need to see more before I give him his credit. And this is the thing with me. I will criticize you if you don't get the job done. But if you turn around and get the job done in a large sample size, I will change my opinion. I'm not one that holds grudges or anything like that. I just tell like it is. And speaking of tell it like it is, the Washington Redskins came back on Tampa Bay 31-30. And I will give Kirk Cousins his credit. I will give him his props. He's 33-40. They were down. They were down 24-7 at the half and 31-20 after the fourth quarter. And he was relentless with 3 touchdowns and no interceptions. And they come back and win. He throws the last touchdown, 6-yard touchdown to Jordan Reed. And I give him his props. He did a good job. I'm his very biggest critic. I'm a critic of the way Jay Gruden's handled this. I'm not a big Cousins fan. Okay, he had a good game. And I was going to come in here and say, I was just going to wax poetic on Cousins. But he did what he did at the press conference, which now really, that really shows his lack of maturity, where he kind of sticks it to the press and I told you, and he just was, he was obnoxious and he's trying to rub it in that he had a good game and he wanted to throw it in the faces of his critics. Just win. And here's my thing to Kirk Cousins. Go put together 4 or 5 good games. Go beat the Patriots. Go beat the Patriots and then wake me up, and then I'll give you your props. But until then, you beat an average, at best, Buccaneers team. You came back on them. I give you that. But keep your mouth shut if you only have one good game. If you play one good game all year, just go away and then play another good game and then another good game and then another good game. Beat the Buffalo Bills. Beat the New England Patriots. Beat the Dallas Cowboys. Go beat the Giants at home, and then let me give you your praise. Then the critics will go away. Until then, they're not going away after one game. Now you've emboldened the writers in Washington. They're really going to come after you now when you do have a bad game. And his coach should tell him something. I don't think his coach has a clue. But nevertheless, somehow, some way, the Washington Redskins are in second place behind the Eagles and the Cowboys. So that division is still up for grabs. And if you're Cousins, you shouldn't be worried about critics. You should be worried about getting wins. There's an opportunity to steal a division if you're going to play good. But I think he's so short-sighted that's where his head's at. That's why I can't trust the Redskins. I still don't leave the Cowboys out. you know. But I'm gonna tell you two sleeper teams. Minnesota at 4-2 on a little winning streak, beating up on the Lions. And the Oakland Raiders. The Oakland Raiders have come out of nowhere playing good. And if they've got a nice little streak going, 4-3. And you know, they're playing good. Carr threw for 289 yards. And Cooper's a superstar at wide receiver. He had a 53-yard touchdown. He had 133 yards receiving. And they beat the San Diego Chargers 37-29. And you know, they played competitive with Denver. They've been competitive in games. They're 4-3, and Jack Del Rio says, we got to go for the division. That's not happening. But, you know, the wild card is up for grabs. You know, everybody's 3-4, 4-3. They're that 5-2 range. So they got a huge game next week against the Jets at home. If they ever won that, they're in the hunt. Because now if you're competing with the Jets for the final offer spot, you got the head-to-head win. If you're the Jets, you got to go to Oakland and take care of business and stay in the hunt. Now I want to talk about college football. I was disappointed and surprised at Utah. I was really big on Utah, and they got annihilated by annihilated by USC, 42-24. Travis Wilson was horrible. Threw a couple of pick sixes. And it completely shut down Devontae Booker. USC just showed how athletic they were and how good they could be when they could put it together. And they could be a problem coming down the stretch. You know, they got UCLA coming up. They could be a thorn in people's side. I'm going to tell you something. With the way the Pac-12 is set up, you might not see a team come out. They might get shut out. Now that Utah's lost and Stanford has say, for instance, the committee comes down to this. You're going to have an SEC team for how good they are, Bama or LSU, because Bama survives the game against Tennessee. If Bama plays LSU in a couple of weeks, that's going to be a great game. Bama versus whoever is going to come out, you're going to have the Big Ten team, Iowa State or Michigan State. They'll play each other. Maybe they play each other twice. You have that winner. Because they'll have the credentials. You'll have that winner. You'll have Alabama. This is the year you're going to have a Big 12 team. You're going to have either Baylor or, unless Oklahoma spoils everything, but you're going to have Baylor, and you're probably going to have TCU or Baylor. Baylor won, but they lost their quarterback. And now they got to go to Jarrett Stidham, and he's their freshman, but they say he's a freshman sensation. And their offense is so explosive, they might not miss a beat until they play at TCU. And that's where the lack of experience could hurt Baylor, especially at TCU. So you're going to have one of those teams in. It's going to come down to Clemson and Stanford. And Stanford may have better credentials. If Stanford wins out, they may have better credentials. But they lost to Northwestern. And Clemson could go undefeated. Now, if any team in the ACC loses, like Clemson loses, they're done. Because the ACC stinks this year. And Pac-12 is good. Not great. I thought they were going to be great, but good. So, and then if Stanford – now, here's the thing. If Notre Dame runs the table and Clemson loses and Notre Dame beats Stanford, you're knocking out the Pac-12. And Notre Dame could sneak it. But Notre Dame got a lot of games to come up. And then because they got Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh's really good this year. So the NCAA is going to be a lot of fun. So tomorrow I'm going to talk about the World Series. I'm going to give you a breakdown. It's going to be the Mets pitching versus the Royals. Very good pitching. The Mets, great pitching. Versus the Royals, very good pitching and very clutch hitting. This is going to be a very, very interesting series. It's hard to call. I want to see these first two games, so give me an idea of this matchup so I can go forward and I kind of know how I want to predict this. So It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be in tomorrow, and if you call in to the show, you're going to talk. We're going to talk baseball. If you're a diehard baseball fan, tomorrow's a show you want to listen to.